Chapter 9, Designation of the Tasks of the Founders. President, King Herod Agrippa. Vice President, Hiram Abiud. First Secretary, Moab Levi. Second Secretary, Adoniram. Observer, Johanan. First Assistant, Abdon. Second Assistant, Antipa. Sponsor, Abiram. Porter, Abia. The king said,
"You already know that we must make everyone believe that our association is very ancient, and so there may be no doubt about the legend of the found papers. We will place in our temple symbols from ancient times, such as those Solomon used in his temple. We will erect two pillars as Solomon did in the temple. We will call the first Booz, and the second Jakin. One will be to the right, the other to the left."
2 Chronicles 3:17. And Solomon reared up the pillars before the temple, one on the right hand, and the other on the left, and called the name of that on the right hand Jakin, meaning "he will establish," and the name of that on the left Boaz, meaning fleetness or in strength.
"We will say also that our brother Hiram Abiud is Hiram Abiff, the great Syrian architect called by Solomon for his construction of the temple. These two subterfuges must be noted in the general principles of the association. We will reinforce this deceit with the use of the instruments of construction that the architect Hiram Abiff utilized in the construction, such as the square, the compass, the trowel, the scales, the hammer, etc., all of wood, as Hiram Abiff had them. It is fundamental that the front of the temple must face the east, a point that I will explain to you later. I believe also that we must adopt symbols inspired by the firmament, such as the stars, the sun, and the moon, symbols that remind us more of antiquity. We will also utilize other symbols to recall the impostor Jesus, the images of which we will select so they may be adopted by our sons and grandsons, who inherit this history together with the administration of our new association."
Hiram was the king of Tyre, who sent workmen and materials to Jerusalem to build both the palace for David and the temple for Solomon. This is not the Hiram spoken of in this document. This Hiram was the chief architect and engineer of Solomon's temple sent by King Hiram to Solomon. So there were three Hirams: Hiram Abiff, Hiram the king, and Hiram Abiud. Hiram Abiff and Hiram the king were Adamites at the time of Solomon. Hiram Abiud was an Edomite and the King Herod's vice president of the association. Chapter 10, The Preparation of the Instruments and Symbols. King Agrippa said,
"We bless these instruments, and we also bless these various symbols of Jesus that represent, ironically, some episode of those that the impostor spoke of during his preaching and his instructions and blasphemies, such as the cock, the sword, the light, the darkness, the hammer. Because of its being the instrument that was used to nail his hands and his feet, and with it we will open all the sessions, emphasizing this irony. Every session will be opened by striking three times consecutively with this hammer. Thus we will remember eternally, through the centuries, that we have crucified him, and that with this hammer we have fixed the nails in his hands and feet, killing him. These three stars you see symbolize the three nails. Among our symbols will be the three steps, ridiculing with them this blasphemy, God as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, with his claiming to be the Son. Within our association, we will make degrees, as we have mentioned previously. These will be 33, symbolizing the age of the impostor. We will give a name to each degree, and we will create other similar symbols. All these things were my idea and those of brothers Moab and Hiram. The meaning of these ironic symbols must not be perceived. It must remain among the nine of us. For the other brothers or affiliates, it is enough to make them see the utilities and instruments, so they may believe that the association was founded in the times of Solomon or earlier than this. Any brother can propose a new symbol.
Chapter 11. The First Session and the First Temple. On November 4th of the same year, 43 AD, the first official session was realized in the First Temple of Jerusalem, which was a basement in the palace of King Agrippa. The nine founders began their works, preparing the instruments of construction made of wood and creating a new symbol, the apron, that symbolized the protection of the clothing from the mud. All this to conceal the true purpose and to assure the affiliates of the antiquity of the association. The king, president, said,
"I, with my authority as president, and not as king, grant each one of you the 33rd degree, the highest degree in our association. From now on, each one of you will enjoy this high degree. But I want to mention something to our brother, Hiram, hoping you may agree with me. I wish to make the 3rd degree special and call it Hiram's degree, because he is the one who merits the distinction, the gratitude, and the immortalization for being the first who founded the idea of founding this association. He is the creator of this glorious idea. I grant him also the title of Master, because I consider, and you will consider it so with me, that Hiram is the Master. He is the one who deserves the title that the impostor Jesus falsely attributed to himself. We will call this 3rd degree the degree of Master Hiram. And since our brother Hiram is orphaned of his father since childhood, knowing no one other than his widowed mother, I propose to call our association the Widow, asking your approval. From now on, the name of the founders will be the Sons of the Widow. Each member of the association will call himself a son of the widow until the end of time, because we believe that our association will live until the end of time. For all that we honor our brother Hiram, we will not succeed in esteeming his grand favor. We must honor him still more. But the title of the widow agrees with the object of our association, because the widow always needs help and aid. This title, being the symbol of the cooperation and help among us, besides recognizing Hiram's work. Do you approve all this?"
Everything was approved and recorded. Chapter 12. Preaching to Attract Affiliates. The nine founders, with the exception of the king, began the campaign for the inscription of affiliates in the association. They dispersed primarily in the city of Jerusalem, noting the names of the solicitants, taking them to the temple and making them inscribe, without making known to them the real purposes of the association, to attack Jesus' men. After having taken the oath, they informed them of the true goals. They inculcated in them that this association, the mysterious force, existed since the most remote antiquity, being revived at the will of the king, so it might be the one powerful means of defeating the enemies of the Jewish religion, who were dispersed everywhere and with great activity. Acts 21:20. And when they heard it, they glorified Yahweh, and said unto Paul, You see, brother, how many thousands of Judeans there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. Revelation 2:2, speaking of the first church age of Ephesus, which described the stage of the Christian assemblies from the time of Christ to about 100 A.D. I know your works, and your labor, and your patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil. And you have tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and have found them liars, and have been bearing up, and having endurance, and for my name's sake have labored, and have not fainted. Hiram said,
We let any person affiliate at no cost. In that way, their number increased rapidly, and we began to attack Jesus' men with all energy, impeding the people's following them. Many times we have caught them in our nets with traps and deceit, killing those of them that we could. They fled from us like lambs before ferocious wolves.
Psalm 44:22. Yea, for your sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves.
But the Israelites grew firmly in the faith of the belief of their new religion, being reacquainted with the heritage of the way, in the measure in which we persecuted them. They increased in number and in firmness. It seemed as if they did not fear us. It was obvious that a hidden force,
which would be Yahweh, the set-apart spirit,
sustained them in spite of our persecution. For that reason, we consulted among ourselves. We renewed our forces and we strengthened our association, because it was the only means of realizing our objective until the last phase. Based on this and on our solemn oath, it was inevitable that we faced the force that at the beginning we believed to be weak. We decided to face death if it was necessary. We dedicated ourselves to increasing our forces, increasing the number of inscribers. Within 2 months, we achieved 2,000 brothers, bearers of the title Mysterious Ones. They were now members of the Mysterious Force. We began to found affiliates in several places, dependent on the principal temple.
Interesting, the word inscriber, one who inscribes, to inscribe anything on the mind or memory, to mark with letters, characters, or words, to draw a figure within another. In Genesis 3:22 we read, And Yahweh Elohim said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. The Hebrew has, the man is become a scribe as one of us. The scribe part has to do with the gaining of knowledge. The Skull and Bones Secret Society of Yale University uses the number 322. Skull and Bones operates as an independent elite Freemasons lodge. 322 is symbolic of the Luciferian initiation. A Talmudic passage 322 reads, Dealing with the duty to keep a Gentile slave enslaved forever. James Jesus Angleton was called the mother of the Central Intelligence Agency. Angleton was directly responsible for a domestic espionage project called Operation Chaos, and had coined the phrase,
"Deception is a state of mind, and the mind of the state."
Hence, from this point forward, the CIA would play a central role in creating chaos, both domestically and abroad, or Ordo Ab Chao, which is the motto of the 33rd degree of Scottish Rite Freemasonry. The children of Cain are known to be scribes. The Jews were Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes. The Jews took the Torah of Moshe and perverted it into their Judaism. Jeremiah 8:8, "How do you say, 'We are wise, and the Torah of Yahweh is within us'? But look, the false pen of the scribe has worked falsehood." The reason why we have 33,000 denominations of so-called Christianity is because of the efforts of the inscriber affiliates of Freemasonry. 2,000 years of infiltration, changing of laws, history, and scripture by these inscribers of the mysterious force. If you have any knowledge of what Dog Latin is, then you will understand that it is a debased, fraudulent, and criminal text. It is used to legally trick you into taking from the tree of good and evil. It is used in our court system, legal documents, and the King James perversion. Through this Dog Latin, the Jews have usurped our dominion, our inheritance, and our Christian name and standing. We become the debtor instead of the creditor. Just look at your birth certificate or your name on any document. It's all capitalized with no hyphens. That is Dog Latin. You were incorporated since birth and a slave to the Jewish system of Mystery Babylon. Dog Latin is a glossa. A glossa is all uppercase text. A sign. It's a concealment. Synonyms of gloss is conceal, cover up, hide, camouflage, disguise, mask, when that's a person, fail, whitewash, evade, avoid, something swept under the carpet, gloss over. The legal name is a Sestaki Trust, which means you are considered lost at sea, and the revisioner is the government, which means your estate reverts back to them. Under the legal standing, you are a U.S. citizen, property, a slave, a civilly dead entity. When you are born, you are assigned a birth certificate, which is when you become a corporation of the international Jew, and your value is traded on the international market. You are listed as a corporation under the United States Securities and Exchange Commission, which is owned by the U.S. Federal Reserve, which is owned by Jews. You have thousands of liens against you. There's a website that reveals all those liens against you. My 90-year-old Nana has over 8,000 liens against her. The whole system and society operates on ignorance. Black's Law Dictionary defines Dog Latin as being a debased form of text, criminal, immoral, evil, and a counterfeit. There is no jurisdiction between two separate languages appearing on one document. Dog Latin cannot exist as one jurisdiction. The act of using debased Latin is criminal and renders every court or corporate government that renders such a text as a counterfeit. Reference Article 11-147 in the Chicago Manual of Styles, 16th edition, Foreign Languages. The scriptures are also compromised with Dog Latin. Why does the Bible still sit in the Jewish court system? When you swear on the Bible, you swear on a Bible that is grammatically corrupted and that has had the name of God removed. When you read what appears to read the Lord God, or read the first two words of every chapter, which is in all uppercase text, you are seeing the Dog Latin. The King James Perversion is loaded with grammatical tampering. Because of the glossa, the Bible becomes corrupt, turned into a fiction, a corporation, and not the true word of Elohim. This is how we are deceived. Subtle changes that lead astray. Isn't it obvious how deceived everyone is? Worshipping the Lord, which refers to Baal, and has replaced the name of God, which is Yahweh? You will notice it's all capitalized, but the ORD size is smaller. The L has been grammatically removed from Lord, leaving only Ord, being the sign for ordinance, replacing the God of Moses for the serpent. The message is tainted as well, not only because of the glossa, but because even the English words are specially coded to suit the counterfeit, because English has also been said to have been designed to enslave the Christian, legally. If you feel you are being treated unfairly in the courts, it's because you are swearing on a Bible that has been grammatically corrupted and had the name of Yahweh removed and replaced with Baal, the Lord. These Jew scribes and perverters of righteousness have set up a legal system of fraud. It's our fault for not being educated. This symbolic text, or sign, Dog Latin, is an engraved image that God warned us not to worship. Chapter 13. The Foundation of Secondary Temples, or Lodges, in Judea. Hiram Abiud said,
"If it were not for our firmness in the protection of the Jewish religion, all Jerusalem might have fallen from our hands into the nets of the impostor Jesus' preachers. Because the preachers of his teachings, after his death, despite their boorishness, were going about bewitching the people. That first successful campaign of ours incited us to establish affiliates everywhere, before the expansion of Jesus' preachers might increase, and before those inclined toward him might increase. We divided the founding commission in two. One part remained in Jerusalem, resuming the sessions under the presidency of the king, and activating and enthusing the affiliates. The other part headed for different points in Palestine, one in each direction, preaching the principles of the association, making known the hatred against Jesus and his followers among the people, and threatening with death whoever would permit himself to be influenced by those impostor preachers, and warning especially the leaders of the villages, pressuring them to expel from their regions those men, Jesus' men, who entered to preach. At times we found some men faithful to the Jewish religion who helped us in our proceedings. Other times we encountered strong resistance, and the majority of the times the fire of discussion was ignited among families and close relatives, coming to enmities and division. Some continued following those teachings, adopting them. Others followed us, opposing their deceived relatives, battling with them to death. Many of these faithful enthusiasts killed their relatives for having followed the impostors. Such was the plan of each of us founders, the establishment of temples and affiliates, persecution of the false preachers. With our action, we impeded the fall of many thousands of persons into their hands. We established 45 temples from the day of the foundation to date, that is, 14 months. Never have we taken a single step backward in our battle, in spite of the sorrow that is caused us by the fact that many of our people went with Jesus, giving in to the first followers and to the pagans who adopted his teachings. Never consider as a religion the society the impostor Jesus founded. Never call him the Messiah. Never attend the meetings of his followers, because they are deceiving and confusing magic. But vain were our efforts to impede a great number from falling into his nets. Vain were the threats of death to recall them to our path. They had deaf ears. Our arguments, even the most extreme, were worth nothing to counteract the force of that doctrine. Nor was it possible for us to impede our Jewish people from adopting its principles.
Even some of the Jews were converting to Christianity, which is vain because no Jew will rise after Judgment Day. Read Obadiah. Chapter 14. The Establishment of Associations Affiliated to the Association, but with Other Names. Hiram.
This success of establishing other affiliate temples and lodges pleased King Herod exceedingly. He was even more pleased by our valiant attitude in front of the impostors, and he was tremendously impressed to know that we succeeded extremely well in killing a great number of them with all the means within our reach, blocking their efforts, destroying their preaching, and making their snares useless. With this, we prevented people from attending their meetings. Some simple elements that were obstinate we considered of no importance, because they belonged to the lower class. The names of the affiliate associations is the responsibility and the choice of their founders or leaders, under the elementary conditions that they must have the same principles as the mysterious force, except in what concerned the degrees, the signs, the instruments, and the other characteristics of our association. The symbol of these must be two hands interlocked, union and collaborator. The oath of these brotherhoods must be synthesized in the following text. I, John Doe, son of John Doe, swear by God,
which is Lucifer,
my creed and my honor, to unite myself to my brothers of the association, whatever brotherhood, with everything they desire to realize, to collaborate with them and to be as one heart with them until death. Such was our march in the path of the battle, rapidly establishing several brotherhoods with different names. The Jewish Brotherhood, the National Union, the Religious Collaboration, the Religious Obligation, etc. These brotherhoods made great progress, thanks to the will of the leaders whom we selected as founders. In the majority of cases, they were wealthy men.
43 AD. Herod Agrippa slays James the Elder, brother of John. James is killed and Peter imprisoned, Acts 12:1. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the assembly, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. 44 A.D. Acts 12, 4-17. A messenger of Yahweh leads Peter out of prison. He goes to Mary, the mother of John Mark. The death of Herod Agrippa I, grandson of Herod the Great. Acts 12:20-23. Yahweh smote Herod, and he was eaten of worms. Towards the end of the chapter, we see the death of Herod Agrippa, who did not deny himself when the people extolled him as a god, and because he created the association of the mysterious force. The account of his death is recorded in Josephus, Antiquities, Book 19, page 343-354. The emperor Claudius gave Herod Agrippa I dominion over Judea and Samaria as a gift in return for his support after the assassination of Caligula, the son of Herod Agrippa I, called Herod Agrippa II, is the Agrippa of the latter chapters of Acts. Chapter 16. Hiram succeeds King Agrippa after his death. One of his ideas during the succession was the suggestion of giving another name to the Temple of Jerusalem, that of the Great Eastern Star. He wanted to signify by this that the true light that illuminates and orients is this star, and not the one that the Magi kings claimed to have oriented them when they came from the east to visit the infant impostor Jesus. Then Hiram ordered that the star be drawn in the background of the temple, behind the head of the president on the upper port, and that it was to be surrounded by the words, written in purple, the Great Eastern Star. He also ordered that the same thing be drawn above the interior door. Hiram, in his lengthy journey, arrived at Sidon, persecuting Jesus' men, causing fear in the hearts of the simple folk who followed him. Seeing that the number of Jesus' followers increased enormously, he asked the collaboration of his own companion founders. Moab sent him two, Adoniram and Agrippa. The three resumed the persecution against the impostors wherever they went, arriving even earlier in the respective villages in order not to leave them time or opportunity to preach. Chapter 17. Hiram's Disappearance. Hiram was found dead and being eaten by vultures. His nephew, Tobalcain, succeeded him. They ordered that the wake of Hiram be realized every time the third degree was granted to a member, thus to keep his memory alive. Tobalcain.
We must make known to the mysterious ones that the wake of homage mentioned is made in memory of Hiram Abiff, the Syrian, the architect of the Temple of Solomon, killed by the three workers. With this deception, we affirm before everyone the antiquity of this association, the secret being kept forever.
Hiram Abiff is not Hiram Abiud. It's an intended deception to hide the origin of the association.
With this event, the nine of us immortalize the memory of my uncle, the martyr of the association. The general and public remembrance will be for Hiram Abiff, and so the mysterious ones do not understand anything of this, and to fortify the beliefs in the antiquity of the association.
Adoniram added,
We, the nine, and whoever succeeds us through the centuries will not forget it. How can we forget it if there will be a copy of this history in the hand of each one of the nine? And thus, we will complete the deception in such a way that none of the mysterious ones will suspect that the wake of the third degree corresponds to our brother, Hiram, president and founder of this association. And everyone will believe that the wake of the third degree is for Hiram Abiff, the architect of the Temple of Solomon, it being impressed in the mind of the people that the origin of the association is prior to Solomon. Thus, no one will know anything of the date, the purpose, and the place, and the founders of the association. From now on, the first of the conditions that the aspirant to the third degree, that of Hiram, must fulfill is that of representing our dead brother, suffering the insults and the bitternesses that Hiram suffered in his battles on behalf of the principles of the association. The associate must accept being placed in a coffin representing the corpse of Hiram. The coffin is left with the graduate in a dark room representing Hiram in the desolate field where he died. Then it is to be carried to the temple and placed between the two columns, Booz and Jakin. You must know the importance of the following matter. He who reaches the third degree must not relate its secrets to one who is lower, so the latter may not know its rites until his graduation.
Chapter 19. The Signs of Recognition and the Norms for Entering the Temple Lodge. There is a list of signs in this chapter. Secret words to prove you are a mysterious one. Certain steps and hand gestures. Certain hand gestures for those in danger or needing help. Recognition with the eyes, touch, handshakes, speech, and age. Adoniram.
We made the degrees of our association be the number 33, symbolizing, ironically, Jesus' age when we killed him.
Chapter 21. The Confirmation of the Third Degree, the Degree of Master Hiram, and the Rituals of the Act. A list of 5 acts are recorded and are symbolic of the death of Hiram, which anyone aspiring to the third degree must perform. These acts sound very much like what goes on in the college fraternities, especially Skull and Bones. On ending all that was mentioned, they uncover the coffin and remove the blindfold from the eyes of the aspirant, who arises. The president will then say, "Brother, you know that in your ascendancy to the degree of Master Hiram, you represented him, dead and living. Dead, you represented him assassinated in the struggle during his mission, living in his secrecy. You must adopt, then, his struggle, his activity, his secrecy." 44 AD, Jews, likely of the association, aroused a persecution against Paul and Barnabas at Iconium, Acts 13:51 through 14:6. Paul and Barnabas in Lystra and Derbe, Acts 14:19. And there came there certain Judeans from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. More agitation from the Edomite Judeans from the association. 48-49 AD. At Thessalonica they preached Christ, but had to flee on account of the Jewish association. Acts 17:1-10. Acts 17:13. But when the Judean Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of Elohim was preached of Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the people. 49 AD. Claudius Caesar expels Judeans from Rome, blames it on Crestus, or blames it on Christ. Paul is brought before Gallio in 51 AD, Acts 18:12, and when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Judeans, likely the Jews of the association, made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying,
"This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law."
Acts 19:9. Paul separated the students, meaning that those who were persuaded to Christianity would stop attending the Judean assembly hall in order to be instructed by Paul alone. As Paul and the disciples were bringing the gospel to their Israelite kinsmen throughout his missionary journeys and Achaia, the association of the mysterious force was growing, establishing lodges everywhere, and attacking the disciples. Chapter 22. Synthesis of Events in the Years 55 to 105 AD. more decrees and orders are established for recognition of new brothers. Adoniram said,
After giving the order previously mentioned, we continued the battle, increasing the number of temples and associates, founding more associations with our own principles, but with different names. Thus, the Jewish nation grew and its glory glowed for many years. But at the same time, the people who followed the impostor increased more. They were, in the majority, pagans. Thanks to our continuous work, very few of our people followed him.
Antipas, heir of one of the nine founders, said,
The temples of Rome and of Achaia recorded indelible honor for our association. We owe them in immense favor, for they have won innumerable pagans, no less than those the impostors won with their magic force. Those two temples surpassed this temple of ours, the one in Jerusalem, when they killed Peter and his brother Andrew, deserving to perpetuate their memory in the pages of time. The dangerousness of those two preachers was noteworthy in their marvelous sermons, in their power of attraction, and in their indescribable eloquence, in such a way that if it were not for the battle of those two temples, thousands of our nation would have been converted to that impostor's religion. The two great temples in Rome and Achaia must be glorified by every mysterious one, just as Hiram himself. May Lucifer protect them. They crucified Peter and Andrew just as the impostor was crucified. They frightened the people and paralyzed the movement of Jesus' followers for a long time.
56 A.D. Learned of a plot against him by the Jews, Paul goes to Macedonia and Greece. Acts 20, verse 1. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples, and embraced them, and departed to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts, and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Judeans, the Jews of the association, laid wait for him, as he was about to go sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. 58 A.D. His arrival at the temple causes a riot to break out. A mob seizes Paul and begins to savagely beat him after he is dragged outside the temple area. The angry mob of Jews, however, disperses when Roman soldiers appear on the scene. The Romans arrest Paul and question him. The apostle escapes being scourged when the authorities discover he is a Roman citizen, which no Jew can be a Roman citizen. The commander mistook Paul for a leader of the Sicarii, or assassins, as they were called, which was a group that had been causing much trouble in Judea, and which is discussed and frequently mentioned by Flavius Josephus in his writings. Paul arrested in the temple, Acts 21:27, and when the 7 days were almost ended, the Judeans, meaning the agitators of the association, which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out,
Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teaches all everywhere against the people and the law and this place, and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and has polluted this holy place.
Many of the Greeks were of the dispersed nations of Israel, and considered common or profane by the Judeans. Paul was also teaching that the sacrificial rituals were not needed anymore. They were fulfilled by Christ. Verse 29. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. The temple was an Israelite heritage. It was not for the world, as were the other religions. You can see in museums today the signs that warned any non-Israelite to not enter, punishable by death. The Judean Israelites considered the Greeks common. Even though the Greeks were of the dispersed tribes of Israel, they both just forgot that they were kinsmen to each other. Trophimus was a Greek. The association was getting good at agitating the crowds. Verse 36, "For the multitude of the people followed after, crying, 'Away with him!'" Actually, they were crying, "Kill him!" G 142, "a hero," can also mean to take from the living by violence. Paul's citizenship saves him from scourging. Acts 22:22-29. Paul, being born in Tarsus, and being a citizen of Tarsus, thereby being also a Roman citizen, had many more legal rights than Christ. Note, Jews could not be Roman citizens. Paul was not a Jew. Paul is brought before the Sanhedrin, Acts 22:30-23:10. In Acts 23:3, Paul calls the high priest Ananias a whitened wall and warns that God would smite him. The fulfillment is recorded by Josephus in Wars, Book 2:17-9. He was slain with his brother by robbers. The plot against Paul's life, Acts 23:12-22. 40+ Jews make a vow not to eat or drink until Paul is dead. Can you say, Jews of the Association? In Acts chapter 23, after a plot against Paul's life was revealed to the Roman military tribune, Paul is sent under arms and cloak of night to the residence of the Roman procurator in Caesarea. Upon his arrival there, the procurator accepted Paul as his prisoner when he declared that he would hear his case. This is in spite of the fact that Paul had not violated any Roman laws, but as the Roman commander had written to the governor, he found the Judean Jews accusing him concerning inquiries of their law and having not one accusation worthy of death or bonds. Paul goes before Felix in Acts 24:1-27. 59 AD, Paul before Festus, Acts 25. Upon the assumption to the office of procurator in Judea by Porcius Festus, he reviewed the case of Paul of Tarsus, whom Felix had left bound. Festus then admitted that Paul had done nothing worthy of death or bonds, but would not release him since he did not want to show the Jews any disfavor. Paul was therefore compelled to appeal to Caesar, since Festus only offered him a trial in Jerusalem, which Paul, being a Roman citizen, could not be compelled to accept. When Herod Agrippa II arrived in Caesarea, evidently to see the new procurator, Festus told Agrippa II of Paul, and Agrippa II is portrayed as having exclaimed that he had been wanting to hear Paul speak. Paul before Agrippa II, Acts 25:23-26:32. With Agrippa II wanting to hear Paul, and with Festus being in need of an account of the charges against Paul, so that he could write to Nero, explaining why Paul had been sent to him, Paul is therefore given an opportunity to address not only Agrippa II, but the commanders and eminent men of the city. Since Caesarea was a large city, there must have been a considerable crowd present, in addition to those whom Luke mentioned specifically. Further evidence of this is seen in Acts 25:23, where Luke says that Agrippa II, who, being the king of a neighboring country, is actually a visiting dignitary, along with his sister, or perhaps his sister wife, Bernica, had entered into the auditorium with much fanfare, as Luke described the event. In Acts chapter 26, Paul was afforded the opportunity to address a rather large crowd at what Luke depicted as a rather festive gathering concerning his Christian profession. Paul did not speak for the benefit of Herod Agrippa II, who was an Edomite Jew and certainly not a candidate for the Christian profession. Rather, Paul addressed Herod as a matter of protocol, and used the occasion in order to witness to the many hundreds of Israelites who would have been present. 62 AD, James the Lesser is murdered. 70 AD, destruction of the temple under Titus. Chapter 23, the designation of the degrees. Year 107 after Christ. As each founding member died, their sons would succeed them. Solomon Misraim Abiram himself visited many temples, founding several. So great was the success of his efforts that in his epoch, the members of the partisans of the impostor decreased. He conceived several ideas that offered great benefits to the association. He solved a great conflict incited among the members of the principal temple. He created names for some degrees, after the degree of Hiram, of utmost importance. These are Degree 7, the Guide. Degree 9, the Elder. Degree 12, the Triumphant One. Degree 15, the Scientist. Degree 18, the Talented One. Degree 21, the Preacher. Degree 24, the Little Master. Degree 27, the Little Philosopher. Degree 30, the Kadosh. Degree 31, the Cross. Degree 32, the Great Architect. Degree 33, the Living Dead. Aaron Abayud, one of the heirs of this manuscript, said,
"After the destruction of Jerusalem and our dispersal, we installed our new temple, Jerusalem, in an unknown place where we remained for several years, our heirs as well, issuing orders without anyone's knowing of our location, not even the affiliate temples themselves. Thus must those who succeed us proceed. They must not announce the place of their see, except in case that an urgent necessity, as, for an example, on receiving energetic protests on behalf of the presidents of the affiliate temples, or in case of revolt against the central orders on the part of the mysterious ones."
Chapter 24, the years 115 to 500 A.D. Aaron Abayud said,
"Our association grew and our mysterious force increased, without our achieving our longed-for goal, because the enemy's growth surpassed ours. We worked, urged on by religious and national duty, but they worked by a means of a factor unknown to us. We see them acting with affection, with sacrifice, self-denial, and humility, whose origins were unknown to us. We could not discover this apparent force. They must be supported by a mysterious, a magic force. For that reason, we decided to continue our struggle, fulfilling our oath and continuing the march according to the plan of our ancestors, Hiram and his companions. Our ancestor Hiram Abayud recommended that we kill all the impostor's followers. He recommended that we recognize nothing but the Jewish religion. Several times he declared that however much the number of religions increases, we must attack them and annihilate them with the force of our union, our struggle and our constancy in personal abnegation.
At this point of this documented history is omitted the translation of some paragraphs that explain how non-Jews entered the association and how they punished Jesus' followers and how they founded other temples until the year 500. Chapter 25. What happened after the appearance of Muhammad, the founder of the Islamic religion? Levi Moses Levi said,
"At the end of the 6th century of the impostor Jesus, who harassed us with his falsehoods, another impostor appeared, who claimed the gift of prophecy, of inspiration and of orientation, for the Arabs in the path of a true God, making laws contrary to our Jewish religion, and succeeding in convincing many in a short time. We arose, attacking his claims, raising our voices to make his men and his followers understand that he and his followers are impostors, and false, as Jesus was an impostor and false. Nevertheless, success was not with us. Day by day the number of the followers of Muhammad increased, as did the followers of Jesus. With the sword and terror they attracted the people and many of our Jewish nation."
Revelation 8:13, "And I beheld, and heard a messenger flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three messengers, which were yet to sound." The Muslim invasion. The Arab invasions of the Adamic society. The first woe. The Saracen invasion. A third of the breakup of the Roman Empire. The southerly third. It deals with the Arabs and Mohammedanism and conversion by the sword.
"Then they used tolerance and deceit, succeeding in accelerating their growth. We attacked them like the followers of Jesus, and they increased more, until we succeeded in impeding our people from converting to them. The Jews that were inclined toward them were simple ones, like animals. Nevertheless, we could not impede the pagans following them in spite of our battles. We ordered the Jews to attack the two religions, that of Jesus and that of Muhammad, as a consecration to our Jewish religion. I have said religions, while I must say associations. For that reason, we ordered all the temples to abstain strictly from considering those two associations as religions. There is no religion other than the Jewish. All the others are corrupt and degenerate. The disturbances caused by the impostor Jesus were not enough, so now this other impostor comes causing us more concern. Our resistance is of one kind. The former we crucified. For the latter, it was not necessary, because we are killing him by poison."
Note, the second woe of Revelation deals with the Turkish invasion. This second woe is a description of the Turkic invasions of Byzantine lands. Turks took over what the Arabs conquered and the rest of Asia Minor, and finally Constantinople, roughly 1067 to 1453 AD. John gave the prophetic time period of 391 years for the aggressive phase of the Turkish woe, Revelation 9:15. I personally believe the third woe to be the present Muslim invasion of all our white nations, Revelation 11:14. "The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe comes quickly."